Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Let us read Psalm 34 together. 34-ാം സങ്കീർത്തനം നമുക്ക് ചേർന്ന് വായിക്കാം. Psalm 34. Let's read together. 34-ാം സങ്കീർത്തനം. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces will never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for to those who fear him there is no want. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves length of days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against evildoers, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Hallelujah. Let us thank God this morning for this beautiful psalm. This psalm is rich with promises from God. Hallelujah. Nokiyavar Prakashidra Yeshuvin Thirumugathil. Hallelujah. Those who look to him will be radiant. This psalm, let us lift our eyes and let us lift up our eyes and our faces to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, and let our faces become radiant with hope. Let our faces be radiant with the grace and the mercy of the Spirit. Let us be filled with the Spirit of God this morning. Hallelujah. Let us thank God that he is good and his mercy endureth forever. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Our Heavenly Father in heaven, Father God, we thank you, Lord Father, for this time that you have given to us to come together as a church family, to come and to call upon your holy name. You are a good God. Who is like you? We thank you, Lord, because we fear you and we are in awful reverence before you, Father, because you are an awesome God and you are a fearful God and your ways are higher than our ways. So we surrender ourselves to you. Lord, I pray that as we look into the psalm and dive deeper, that Lord, your Spirit will continue to expose our hearts, Father, will heal our hearts, Father, will redeem us, will transform us, will change us to be more like your Son. And Father, in everything, let your name be glorified. I surrender each and every single person who's gathered here. I pray that, Lord, that you will strengthen them and enrich their life. Lord, I pray that as I speak, that your word shall not depart from my mouth without, Lord Jesus, is it being led by the Spirit. Let your name be glorified, your name alone. In Jesus' mighty precious name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, church. It is such a blessing for me to be here before all of you once again. Especially this morning, as I'm very excited because I'm looking forward to our youth anniversary, Sunday school anniversary program. I know that all of you have put so much hard work and effort. The teachers, the students, everyone has put a lot of hard work and effort, and I look forward to seeing how the programs are this evening. No pressure at all for all the people who are organizing it and are coordinating for everything to go well. This morning, we're looking at Psalm 34. So when we look at the psalm is a beautiful psalm. It is a psalm rich with verses that have strengthened us and has encouraged us during different seasons of our life. This psalm is a psalm that was written by David when he attended or acted like he was mad before Abimelech, when of the Philistines. So this is a psalm that was written by David. David ezhuthiya oru sangeerthanamaanu nammal ippol vaayichathu. ആ സങ്കീർത്തനം നമ്മൾ പഠിച്ചു വായിക്കുമ്പോൾ അതിൻ്റെ പശ്ചാത്തലം നമ്മൾ വായിക്കുമ്പോൾ അത് പറയുന്നത് അത് ഫിലിസ്തീനിലോട്ട് ഓടിയപ്പോൾ ദാവീദ് ആദ്യം ഫിലിസ്തീനിലോട്ട് ഓടിയപ്പോൾ ഒരു 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 വട്ടായ ഒരു ഒരു മനുഷ്യൻ പോലെ അവൻ അവതരിപ്പിച്ചു. ഹി ആക്ടഡ് ലൈക്ക് ഹി വാസ് എ മാഡ് മാൻ. അത് നമ്മൾ ഫസ്റ്റ് സാമുവൽ ചാപ്റ്റർ 21 വേഴ്സസ് 10 മുതലാണ് നമ്മൾ കാണുന്നത്. 1 Samuel 21 അതിൻ്റെ 10 വാക്യം മുതൽ അതിൻ്റെ 15 വാക്യം വരെ നമ്മൾ വായിക്കുമ്പോഴാണ് നമ്മൾ ഈ സങ്കീർത്തനത്തിന്റെ കോണ്ടെക്സ്റ്റ് എന്തുവാണ് നമ്മൾ മനസ്സിലാക്കുന്നത്. വി അണ്ടർസ്റ്റാൻഡ് ദ കോണ്ടെക്സ്റ്റ് ഓഫ് ദിസ് സാം ബിക്കോസ് ഡേവിഡ് ആക്ട്സ് ലൈക്ക് ഹീസ് എ മാഡ് മാൻ ആൻഡ് ഹീസ് റാൻ ടു ദ സിറ്റി ഓഫ് ഗ്യാപ് ആൻഡ് ഹി ഗോസ് ടു ദ കിങ് ഓഫ് ഗ്യാപ് ആൻഡ് വൈൽ ഹി ഈസ് ദേർ He acts like a madman because he is trying to escape Saul. That is in 1 Samuel chapter 21 verses 10 to 15. നമ്മൾ ഇത് വായിക്കുമ്പോൾ let me read 1 Samuel chapter 10 verses 10 and 11. That day David fled from Saul and went to Achish, king of Gath. But the servants of Achish said to him, Isn't this David, the king of the land? Isn't he the one they sing about in their dances? Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. Now, one of the first few things that you will notice is it's written here Abimelech and over there it said Achish. Now, Achish is the name of the king or the title of the kings of the Philistines. Just like when we read about the kings of Egypt, we call them the Pharaoh. That does not mean that each of their name was Pharaoh 1, Pharaoh 2, Pharaoh 3, Pharaoh 4. We know that their title is Pharaoh, but they have different names. In the same way, the kings of the Philistines, they were called Achish. That was the title that was given to them. Their names were different. Abimelech was the name of Achish the ruler at that time. In the Middle East, we have the name Sheikh. We have Sheikh Mohammed, Sheikh Rashid, they're all sheikhs, meaning they're all rulers, but they have different names, but the title that they keep is Sheikh. In the same way, over here, but the servants of Achish, you should keep in mind that Achish is not the name of the ruler, but the title, rather, of the rulers of Philistines. So when we look at this further, we can see that David is fleeing from Saul. The context of this is David just reached a place of trying to escape from Saul. He knows that Saul is trying to kill him. So as he is escaping, he's going to different places. He goes to where Samuel goes in Ramah, and he goes there and stays with Samuel, and Saul seeks David there. So then David decides to leave from there and goes to Nob, where the priests were dwelling, and he partakes of the holy bread. And then we know that those priests, he takes part of the holy bread, he takes the Goliath's sword, and he runs away again. Why did he take Goliath's words? Because the only people who had swords at that time were the Philistines. The people of Israelites did not. Saul had a sword, that was it. The second sword in the land David took, which was Goliath's sword. So he takes this, But then he goes again and he's like, where can I go where Saul will not pursue me? So think of this. David's arch enemies are the Philistines. The arch enemies of the Israelites are the Philistines. David considers going to the land of the Philistines for safety over his own people's safety. He sends his parents to Moab because he feels that his family might be targeted. So he sends his family to Moab. But God's servant tells, through Nathan, tells David, you should not stay in Moab. You should come back to the land of Israel. So he comes back. So he is right now in this place of where do I go? And he decides to run away from his king, the king of Israel, going to the enemies whom he killed. And he goes to Gath. While he is there, he hears the statement that the Philistines have to say about David. Let us pay attention. Verse 11. But the servants of Achish said to him, isn't this David the king of the land? This is interesting because David is not the king of the land. Who is the king of the land? King Saul. But the Philistines considered David the king of the land. Why? Because Saul was always sitting on his throne and only would rise up if he knew that he could get victory over something. He was very lazy as a king. But on the other hand, David was always on the go. He was always wanting to fight the battles. If he knew that the people of Israelites were in trouble, he would go to them. He helped set the Ziphites free. He set the people of Keilah free. He went to towns when he heard the Philistines were attacking. He would go there to save them. It is the role of a king to fight and stand for the city. Even when Goliath threatened all of Israel, Saul was sitting in the comfort of his tent. But David, just a little lad, rose up to challenge Goliath. So the Philistines saw kingly attributes on Samuel from kingly attributes on David even before David became king. The song that they sang, it's said there in verse 11, Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. This is the song that moved King Saul to jealousy because Saul said, this is what the daughters of Israel are singing. They are singing about David. They want to set him as king. You see, even before they realized that David was anointed as king of Israel, he showed the attributes because the anointing of the Lord was upon him. You don't need to wait for a position. You don't need to wait for everyone else to recognize your position before you start moving into the calling that God has placed upon you. If God has called you to be a son and a daughter of God in your college, in your places of work, in wherever it is, if God is calling you into ministry as a pastor, as an evangelist, as a servant of the Most High God, if God is calling you to be a prophet or a prophetess, if God is calling you to be a miracle worker, if God is calling you to be a healer, you don't need to wait upon everyone's recognition of you before you move into the role and the calling that God has placed upon your life. David acted upon the anointing that was upon him. David acted upon the calling that was upon his life even before everyone around him realized that he had a calling. The funny thing is, the enemies of David recognized the calling. His own people did not. His father did not. His family did not. His nation did not. But his enemies, Saul and the Philistines, recognized the anointing that was on David. So as we look further, we read from verse 12 onwards, David took these words to heart. 1 Samuel chapter 21, verse 12 onwards. David took these words to heart and was very much afraid of Achish, king of Gath. So he pretended to be insane in their presence. And while he was in their hands, he acted like a madman, making marks on the doors of the gate and letting saliva run down his beard. So now this Achish again
shows up later when David goes back to the city of Gath to secure safety a second time. But the Achish that we read here and the Achish we read later are two different rulers. This ruler has experienced David in battle firsthand. And he was going, and his servants were already telling him, this is the guy who is the king of the land. Let's put an end to him. David felt fear. He is in the middle of the camp of the enemy. He is surrounded by the people he faced in battle. All around him are people who know who this man is. And he is walking around with Goliath's sword. He is a threat to the Philistines. As soon as he walks in and the servants all recognize that this guy is David. He is the king of the land. So David understood there is a threat upon his life. And he decides to act like a madman. He goes crazy. He starts marking the wall. He allows, you know, saliva to dribble around his beard. He acts like a madman. And the king of the land says, look at the man. He is insane. Why bring him to me? So verse 14, Achish said to his servants, look at the man. He is insane. Why bring him to me? Am I so short of madmen that you have to bring this fellow here to carry on like this in front of me? Must this man come into my house? Chapter 22, verse 1, 1 Samuel 22. David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. When his brothers and his father's household heard about it, they went down to him there. Here, David manages to escape from the net of the enemy, who were all enclosed around him, who recognized the calling, who could have put an end to his life, an end to his anointing, end to his calling. He acted like a madman, and he managed to get out of the Philistine city of Gath unharmed. So in response to this, David writes the Psalm of Praise, Psalm 34. A psalm of David when he feigned madness before Abimelech and drove him away and he departed. So this is the context of the psalm. David is writing this psalm because he has managed to escape with his life. He is grateful to God. This is a psalm of two notes. It's a psalm of thanksgiving and it's an acrostic psalm. David is a very skilled poet. So when he writes the psalm, each verse starts with the Hebrew letter. So Aleph, Beth, Gimel, Dal. So each alphabet of the Hebrew letter is starting with each verse. So each verse in the psalm is starting with each Hebrew letter. So you wouldn't notice this because we are not reading this in Hebrew. But if we were reading this in Hebrew, we would understand that there is a lot of skill that went into writing this psalm because it's known as an acrostic psalm. But this psalm, other than just the Hebrew, the nature of the psalm is it's the thanksgiving psalm. It's a psalm that where David is thanking God because of what God has done and the faithfulness of God. If you're going to divide the psalm, there are so many verses in this. There is 22 verses in this psalm because there are 22 alphabets in the Hebrew. So there are 22 verses in this psalm and we can divide it into five parts. Psalm 34 verses 1 to 3 is David is saying, let's praise God together. Namal devate aradhikam. Together, let us worship God. Let us praise God together. Verses 4 to 7 is David's testimony about God's deliverance and God's faithfulness. So verses 4 to 7, David is thanking God because of God's faithfulness and how he delivers David from the hands of his enemies. Verses 8 to 10, David now invites the people who are listening to the psalm to come and taste and see that the Lord is good and to experience the same faithfulness of God that he experienced. So he's inviting the people of Israel to come and join him and say that this is not just my God, this is our God. We can experience his faithfulness together. Verses 11 to 14 are about those who fear the Lord. It is wisdom for the people who are seeking righteousness. So verses 11 to 14 are talking about the righteous, those who fear the Lord, those who are seeking wisdom. The same things that you start seeing in Proverbs, you can see starting here, verses 11 to 14. Because David taught this to his son Solomon, that is why Solomon was a man of wisdom. Even though he prayed and asked God for wisdom, that wisdom started from David's household because David started teaching him about fear of the Lord from a very young age. Verses 15 to 22 are verses which talk about those who are righteous versus those who do evil. And these two portions, verses 15 to 22, are those who fear the Lord and those who do not fear the Lord. Those who are righteous versus those who are evildoers. And that's how this psalm is divided. Let us read this psalm together. Rather than read, usually what I do is I read through the whole psalm. But this time, I'm going to just focus on verses 8 to 14. Number 34-ാം സങ്കീർത്തനം 8-ാം വാക്യം മുതൽ 14-ാം വാക്യം വരെ നമ്മൾ നോക്കാൻ പോവുക. We are going to just look at verses 8 to 14. Let us read together. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. For to those who fear him, there is no want. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves length of days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. So when we look at this portion is talking about David is inviting other people to experience God's goodness. From the first three verses, David is shouting and saying, God is faithful, God is great, God is worthy to be praised. So David is declaring the praise of the Lord and he's writing this. And in the next part, he's talking about how God delivered him. And now he's telling them that taste and see that the Lord is good. This is the difference between our religion versus other people's religion. We get to experience that our God is good, not just to selective certain people, but to all of God's people. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. And this is something that you get to taste and see. Nammal ellarum, we can all taste God's goodness. When we just look back into the last few seasons of our life, when we look back at how many people have started this year and are not with us this year, when we see God's faithfulness, when we see how God has provided for us, when we see how good God is to those around us, when we see how God is good to our church, we can taste and see that our God is good. We are not believing that God is somewhere else and his goodness is something that we cannot see. You see, the world looks at creation of God and say, wow, that is amazing, God's creation. We get to taste and see God is good in our personal life. In our day-to-day living, God is good. If you have not tasted the goodness of God, I would invite you, just like David invites you, come, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. David made the mistake of taking refuge in the city of the Philistines, and that backfired on him. He thought if he runs away into the city of the enemies, that he could somehow escape from Saul. But he walked from one situation into a worse situation. There before he was being chased by only one person. Now he walked into the enemy's camp and all of his enemies want to put an end to him. And God rescued him from that situation. Maybe we have experienced this. Maybe we have made some decisions where we thought if we escape the situation, we will be better. And we escaped this nation, we escaped this land, we escaped this family, we escaped this problem, and we came into another situation which seems worse and makes the previous situation look like it was not a problem at all. Sometimes we make these decisions out of desperation, out of anxiousness, out of worry, out of stress. And sometimes we don't consult God when we make those decisions. David did not consult God before escaping to the city of Gath. Usually David is the person who consults God in everything. But this first step that he made of escaping to the city of Gath, he did not consult God. David does not make that mistake again. Next time, when we read the following chapters of chapter 22, a group of men join David, and every time David makes a decision, he asks Abiathar, the one who escaped from the slaughter of the priest at the city of Nob, when Saul slaughtered the priest for helping them, which was actually a promise that God had declared to Eli that your descendants will not be the ones to sit or serve in the temple before me. So the fulfillment of that was done by Saul. But what happened is Abiathar escaped that and carried the ephod with him. And the ephod was a way for the people of God to consult God on what decisions need to be made. David never makes the mistake of not consulting God on what his next step needs to be. But on this decision of escaping to Gath, David did not consult God. So what happened is he walked from one light situation into a heavy situation. He did not realize that he was walking into a trap. He was walking into a lion's den. But in the midst of the lion's den, God rescued him. In the midst of a problem that he himself entered himself into, he opened the gateway for more problems to enter into his life. God rescued him. Today, you might be in a season. Tonight or this morning, you might be experiencing a situation in your personal life where you think that you escaped from one situation. You came here to Canada, to Ontario, and you have found yourself in a worse situation than the situation you were going before. You might be looking back at your season in life and said, that problem seems like no problem compared to the problem that I'm facing right now. But God is saying that come and taste and see that the Lord is good. The one who rescued David, even when David was unfaithful, even when David did not consult God, God enabled David to escape with his life. Hallelujah. Let us thank God, because God's goodness is not dependent on our goodness. But if we take refuge in God, if we take refuge in God and who he is, those who look to him will be radiant. Their faces will shine. They will never be put to shame. This is what we need to do. We need to place our refuge in him. We have to fear God. And when you fear God, there is no want. Verse 10, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. This is why David, after this, keeps making sure that any decision he makes, at least before he is the king of Judah and Israel, before he makes any major decision, he asks God, God, what do you want me to do? God, should I go up to the city? God, should I leave the city? God, what do you want me to do? David constantly seeks God because he knows that God will not lead him to a place where God cannot keep him. Let me repeat that again. God will not lead you to a place where God cannot keep you. If you obey God and you seek God's direction in your life, you will always find that no matter what situation you go through, God will keep you because you have sought the way of God. I just want to read verse 19. പത്തൊമ്പതാം വാക്യം വി കൻ റീഡ്, മെനി ആർ ദി അഫ്ലിക്ഷൻസ് ഓഫ് ദ റൈറ്റ്യസ് ബട്ട് ദ ലോർഡ് ഡെലിവേഴ്സ് ഹിം ഔട്ട് ഓഫ് ദം ലോ. ഹു ആർ ദ റൈറ്റ്യസ്? ദോസ് ഹു സീക്ക് ഗോഡ്, ദോസ് ഹു ഫിയർ ഗോഡ്. There are many problems that we might face, many afflictions we might face, but those who have placed their refuge in Him, those who have sought God's direction, God's will, what is the will of God? God will rescue them out of all of their afflictions. And this is now verses 11 to 14. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves length of days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. If you're a person who wants to see the goodness of God in the land of the living, if you want to see the goodness of God in the land of the living, David outlines the way for that. He says, let your lips... keep your lips from speaking evil and telling deceit or lies. Keep your tongue from evil. Depart from evil and do good. The only way to do that is making sure that we fear God. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We teach our children that verse from a very young age. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In verse 11, David says, come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. David taught his children the fear of the Lord. Now, whether the children disobeyed or not, we will find out later. But he sings this, come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Let us teach our children the fear of the Lord from a very young age. More than anything else, more than to fear failure, more than the fear of not succeeding in life, more than the fear of not being able to please other people, more than the fear of getting a degree, more than the fear of finding a life partner, more than the fear of finding security, we should teach them to fear the Lord. That is the beginning of wisdom. If we train our children to fear the Lord, and that's the wisdom they receive, then God will take care of them. They might go through affliction, they might go through pain, they might go through problem, but God will deliver them out of all of them. I just want to end my words here. And you can read the psalm at your free time, and you can dwell on the other verses which talk about the richness of God's faithfulness and the those who seek righteousness versus those who do evil, those who fear the Lord and those who do not fear the Lord. And that's what that psalm is about. But this is what God wants for us, to fear God, to walk in wisdom, to walk in righteousness, and those who look to Him, their faces will be radiant. Hallelujah. Let us end with a prayer. Father God, we thank you this morning for speaking to us. Lord, Father, when David walked into the enemy's camp, he thought he was escaping from a problem, and he invited for himself a world of problems. Yet in the midst of that, God, you allowed him to escape. You brought him out of that darkness. And Lord, even though he went through much affliction after that, you kept him. You protected him. God, we surrender our situations. Father, if we have made any mistakes in our decisions on how we need to escape our problems, and Lord, we find ourselves in a tough situation right now, Father, I pray that your goodness will keep us. Your goodness will protect us. Lord, we pray that we will seek you in our decisions, that we will seek you in every step of the way, that we will fear you, and Father, that you will deliver us. We trust in you. We know you are our deliverer. You are our redeemer. We thank you, Father, for all that you do for us. Lord, I thank you, Father, for this church. I thank you for the love that they have. I pray for everyone who's going to be listening to this. I pray that, Lord, that they will, Father, fear you and fall in love with you, that they will taste and see that you are good. Blessed is the man who trusts in you. Thank you, Father, for all that you do. In Jesus' mighty precious name, we pray. Amen. May God bless you all with these words.